What it do, baby? Yes, sir. It's the Zoo Yorker, and that means one thing and one thing only. I am your host, Big Zoo, a.k.a. Ed R. Zooming, coming to you here on April 22nd, 2024. Ow! Unfortunately, April 22nd, 2024 also happens to be a Monday for those of you keeping track of things like that. But I appreciate you for being here. I understand how it could be on a Monday. People take it slow. People like to take it easy. You know what? Some people don't even commute at all, so they're not listening to podcasts. But you, you're listening to my beautiful voice right now, and I appreciate you for doing that. Make sure you hit that follow. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. And if you love the baritone in my voice right now, please go ahead and leave a 5-star rating. That helps get more eyes on the product. And I appreciate you all. I appreciate you all doing this. Thank you all for being strong listeners. We're just about 6 episodes deep into this little thing of ours. And I just appreciate y'all taking this journey with me. And this is going to be a fun week. Even though it is Monday, even though we don't like Mondays, this is going to be a fun week. You got basketball playoffs, you got hockey playoffs, you got Mets, you got Yankees, and you know what? The sports god said, we'll sprinkle in a little bit of NFL draft for you as well. Oof, oof, I love that. I am so excited for the week ahead, and the NFL draft is really the place where I am starting to get my focus in on. Because I said this last week when we talked about J.J. McCarthy, and you can go back and listen to that pod. But this draft has absolutely no juice whatsoever, at least not here in New York. And that blows my mind because there are 2 top 10 picks for these organizations coming. And, I mean, in the case of the Jets, this is a draft that Joe Douglas has to nail. I mean, if Joe Douglas doesn't come out and do his thing here on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and set this team up for this season and the deep playoff run that they are looking to have with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. Period. End of sentence. Now, typically, when you approach a draft, you're trying to find somebody that maybe you could develop. Maybe, you know what, isn't going to come in and be a superstar off the jump, but as a guy that you can eventually get there and, you know, have playing at a high level. This time around, Joe Douglas needs to just nail a home run, and he needs to be able to find and identify the guy who's going to come in and not only be a starter, not only play, but be an impact player for this team at a skill position. And it took me a while to come around on that. There was a long time where I was believing the Jets should be trading down. They should be drafting an offensive lineman. And they should be trying to recuperate a little bit of a second round pick maybe, or an extra third, or an extra picks next year in the future. That's what I thought the Jets should do. The more I look at this, the more I realize they have to go and get a skill position player. And now I know everybody is saying Brock Bowers, but I don't think Brock Bowers is necessarily that guy. He's a really great, talented receiver, but when you're talking about a tight end, and that's his position, he's just a tight end, he doesn't do enough of what the Jets need him to do as a tight end. And the Jets actually already have 2 guys in Tyler Conklin and Ruckert who are pretty much what they are looking for at the position. And I think that with the addition of Aaron Rodgers, you can at least see a guy like Tyler Conklin, and I expect a guy like Ruckert as well, to take that next leap and or be brought up to another level. So Tyler Conklin is a guy who is a borderline Pro Bowler. So you could think that by having a guy like Aaron Rodgers throwing him passes, he's going to be on that Pro Bowl line for sure now. It's just little things like that. Like, so when you put that into perspective, and then you go, okay, let's check out the receiver position. And you see Mike Williams. Okay. You see Garrett Wilson. Okay. And then you see a whole bunch of nothing. And that's no offense to any of the other receivers there. They are definitely great quality depth pieces and returners. But the reality is, if you have Gibson, Xavier Gibson, out there for more than 5 to 10 plays a game, then your offense has some serious, serious issues. That's why if the opportunity is there and it presents itself, no matter what it takes, you got to either trade up or you got to be able to make sure that you are going to be able to draft one of these top three receivers. Whether it be Marvin Harrison, which is a pipe dream. Whether it be Malik Nabers, which is probably also a pipe dream, unless somehow he was able to get by the Giants at 6. And finally, Roma Dunze, who is probably the most likely candidate of the three to be available for the Jets, either at 10 or with a trade opportunity to get up to 8, maybe 7, who knows how it works out. But whatever the opportunity is to get him, I think you have to make it happen. And getting any of those three, by the way, is a dream. And in reality, the guy that I want the Jets to go and get is Malik Nabers, because he is the most tantalizing prospect, the most tantalizing skill position prospect in this entire draft, over Marvin Harrison Jr. And I even think he's a much bigger prospect to me than most of these quarterbacks in this draft are, outside of maybe Jaden Daniels, who I like a ton. This kid Nabers, the ability he has to just break off home runs, to just throw him the ball over the middle, boom, Odell like taking off for 75. Or boom, right down the sideline, burning some corner, burning some safety, or burning a linebacker out of slot. This kid is that dude. Malik Nabers is the perfect fit for what the Jets need. They have possession guys in Wilson and in Mike Williams. You have to now go and get that home run hitter. That's Malik Nabers. And I know the rumors more so than reports. Then I know the rumors are saying things about how the Jets would trade up for a Dunze and how, I mean, we all believe that Nabers will be gone by 6. I think the Jets have to do everything in their power to go out and get him. Trade up, whatever you have to do. Because like I said at the beginning, this is an all-in season. This is a Super Bowl approach season. A Super Bowl or bust approach season for Joe Douglas. This is your livelihood on the line here. Because if this team fails, no matter what the excuse is, no matter what the reason is, eventually it's going to come home. Eventually, you are going to get fired. If it continues to be negative, negative, bad results. So you have to make sure that this year, you cross your T's and dot every single freaking I that you can. And the biggest one that you can dot is bringing in another star receiver to work with a quarterback who in the world of football is a genius. And again, I'll just say in the world of football is a genius. I have to make sure I emphasize that. When you have a quarterback with that type of knowledge of the game and an ability, he still has ability, as long as he is healthy, all you have to do is get him guys who are talented. If you get him the most talented guys, this team will go as far as they stay healthy to go. I'll leave it as that. Joe Douglas has to do whatever he has to do in order to keep his job going forward. He also needs to do whatever he can to make sure that this team is extremely prepared for a Super Bowl run this season. And I know Brock Bowers is tantalizing, and I know you've heard so much about him and this big tight end. Oh, he might be the next Gronk. He might be better than Gronk. He might be the best receiving tight end in history over Kelce. They don't need that. The Jets don't need that. They have talent at tight end. They don't have nearly the depth and talent that they need at wide receiver. You go and you get the best fit for your team. You don't just get the guy who's there. You don't just get the third wide receiver. You get the guy who is the best fit and that you know is going to come in here and rock this thing with Garrett Wilson and with Mike Williams and with Conklin and with Rucker and with Breece Hall. And you look at that entire offense together and there's one piece that's missing. And he's a first-round pick this year and he's probably going to go in the top six. And that man's name is Malik Nabers out of LSU. You got to make sure that he is wearing Jets green in week one. There is no other player in the top 10 that this team should be targeting or should be actively pursuing the way that they should be going after Malik Nabers right now. That is the guy. Bring him here. Give him a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. Give him two receivers to play off of like Mike Williams and Garrett Wilson. And watch what this kid does for this franchise. I'm going to tell you that right now. If Joe Douglas is a smart man, and I believe he is, he will make sure that come Friday morning, Jet fans know who the hell Malik Nabers is. And they already probably got his jersey to some degree. I know my guy Ira in Staten Island will. I know my guy Joe B will. Joe Douglas, you got to make it happen. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. It's Malik Nabers and Malik Nabers only. About last night, I got to be honest with you guys. I passed out pretty early, and I did not get to see any really, at least not the ending of the Oklahoma City-New Orleans game, which appeared to be very interesting, but I was out for it. If you guys got to watch, you could tweet at me, at ZooBeard77. Let me know what you guys thought of the weekend in the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs, because I did get to watch those New York Rangers yesterday, and they took care of business like nobody can. I mean, that is exactly the type of performance I was talking about when I was saying this team needs to come out and they need to send a message. They needed to set the tone, and they did. They kicked the crap out of that Capitals team, and they didn't even play the best game that they have. Shout out to Matt Rempe getting the game going with that first goal, with his first playoff goal. He had his mama in attendance. I mean, that's just a beautiful thing. And I'm really happy for this kid because he was a dude that was brought up essentially just like, all right, well, we'll bring him up and he'll fill a hole for a couple of games and we'll send him back down to Hartford. And he's been able to stay with this team for the rest of the season. And honestly, at this point, he is probably a lock to make their opening day roster for next year as well, regardless of what happens the rest of the way. That's a beautiful story in and of itself. But when you take into account that he was really the one that got this team moving in that second period when they got those three goals and they started to actually look like a dominant Rangers team that they are, that's exactly what you're looking for when you're in the Stanley Cup playoffs, because you're not going to have Panarin every game going off. You're not going to have Zibanejad or Kreider going off every single game, Lafreniere scoring goals. It's going to be a group effort. And right out of the gate, like I said, this wasn't the Rangers' best game. They certainly have a lot left to be desired, but they won 4-1. That's what you're supposed to do in the first round when you are a top seed. Yeah, if you don't have it, you have to find it. But while you're finding it, you win those games. That's the goal. That's the key. Rangers set the tone last night. They got it done. 4-1. They're up 1-0 in the series. Now the goal, sweep the Caps. This is a team that's reeling. This is a team that is old. This is a team that is on the other side of the hill. They are the all-star team of 2012 for the NHL. A lot of these names that I look at, and it's crazy to even see some of these guys still playing. James Van Riemsdyk, oof. When you see a team reeling like this, when you see a team that is clearly not at your level and going to drown when you start really playing on them, you have to pounce on them like a pack of wolves. And you have to take advantage of these moments. You have to beat this team in four and save those legs and make sure that you are ready to go in the later rounds, which is the only destination that this team can and will go this season. It's the only acceptable outcome. The Rangers have to win a Stanley Cup. In order to do that, they have to sweep in this first round series. You cannot play with your food. This is business, boys. Get it done. It's that simple. Now, the Mets did not get it done yesterday. The Mets got absolutely lambasted out in L.A. Adrian Hauser had no chance in this one. They got completely shut down by Tyler Glasnow. But you know what? It is what it is. The team is on a 6-game winning streak, a heater, so to speak, coming out of a brutal, brutal start to the season. So you know what? You get crushed around 10-0 in L.A. to the Dodgers, who you already took 2 out of 3 from. And, I mean, I think we can all tell the Dodgers may not necessarily be as good as advertised. So, if the Dodgers want to take one 10-0 game, go ahead. Have fun with it. But this team, they've shown enough. They've shown enough taking that 2 of 3. They've shown enough with that 6-game winning streak. That getting a blowout like this, as long as you bounce back properly in San Francisco this week, you will be okay. People will give you a benefit of the doubt on what Sunday was. The catch 22 is, do we now see this Mets team fall back into the team that went 0-5 to start the year? Or are they going to be capable of immediately bouncing back and not falling into the trap of being a streaky team to start the season and potentially throughout the entire year? They cannot fall into that trap. They've done it in the past. They can't do it this year. You have to find consistency. You are allowed to lose games in baseball. That's why John Sterling, the great John Sterling, always said, that's baseball, Susan. You know why? Because that's baseball. Sometimes you get smacked around and there's just nothing you can do about it for that day. Today is a new day. And the Mets will be playing in San Francisco against the Giants at 9:45. Look for my guy Jose Quintana on the mound, taking on young Keaton Wynn from the San Francisco Giants. Kids 1-3, 4.09 ERA. Not really anything to write home about, but nothing really that terrible either. So this is the type of game where if you're the Mets, you have to win and get the vibes right in that clubhouse. Do not allow things to slip. Do not allow things to snowball. And just keep it loose. Keep it loose and keep the fans loose for right now. As for the Yankees on the other side of town, because the Yankees do also play, right? They had a pretty big time game yesterday, a rubber game with the Tampa Bay Rays. And after a stud-like performance from Luis Gil, where he got a career-high 9 strikeouts over 5 2/3 innings, woof! By the way, we'll talk about Luis Gil in a second. But the Yankees got themselves a 5-4 win and take the series versus the Tampa Bay Rays. To everyone having doubts about the New York Yankees, one, look at what they just did to Tampa. They took another series. They are moving in the right direction, and they are doing things that they have not done in previous seasons. They are beating Tampa, and I don't care if Tampa if you want to say Tampa sucks, if you want to say Houston sucks. These are teams that have been the Yankees' daddy over the last 5 to 6 seasons. So you have to have respect for the team when they come through and actually beat them. It doesn't matter any of the other BS that goes along with it. The Yankees are sitting at 15-7, and people are still questioning so many things with this team, even though they're starting to show you exactly who they are. And Luis Gil is a prime example of this. Luis Gil is a stud. Every time he goes out there, he's either figuring something else new out that is going to help him in the future, or he's putting on a performance that we're all looking at and going, damn, this boy is nasty. And he is. He has been. He's shown us this every time he has come up in the past in very short stints. He is a stud, and he's finally getting an opportunity to prove it at this level. And if he continues on this route, he will be the Yankees' number two pitcher come the playoffs. That's how damn good Luis Gil has been this year. And he's going. The only reason I say he's going to be the number two is because Gerrit Cole is going to be the number one. If for some reason Gerrit Cole is not there, then that is Luis Gil's job in the playoffs. We need to start putting some respect on this kid's name. He is that damn good, and the Yankees are that damn good because of him. You want to talk about how they don't have starting pitching. They have the best starting pitching in the league, especially if Gerrit Cole comes back. This Yankees team has the number one starting rotation in the American League and probably in all of baseball when it's all said and done. The Yanks play at 105 today for some reason against the Oakland A's at home. J.P. Sears, Yankee fans, you remember him, right? He's coming back to take on Carlos Rodon. This will be an interesting one because Sears has been solid this season. Sears is a guy who grew up in the Yankees organization. He pitched for the big league club. I mean, he's going to come in here motivated. This is a weird start time. Don't be surprised if the Yankees somehow do not come out with a victory in this game. But that's okay. It's a weird, weird, weird game. I mean, how often do you start a series at 1 o'clock on a Monday? Well, I guess that doesn't really matter because the Yankees are doing that today, 1 o'clock. So remember that, everybody. If you are looking for the Yankee game, it's at 1. It's not at 7, not at 6:30. Not at all these other random times that we've been starting at over the past couple of years. It is going to be at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So make sure you have it on while you are at home working. Or throw it on the radio. Or throw it on whatever you need to throw it onto. Preferably the radio, I suppose. If you are at work. Now the good thing about the Yankees getting the game over with at 1 o'clock this afternoon is that it leaves the door wide open for the New York Knickerbockers to come out and take the stage at 7:30 tonight versus the Philadelphia 76ers. And ooh, baby. Here's another one. This is another one right here. And this is the one. This is the one. This is the game where I want to see the Knicks make the Sixers rage quit. This is the one where I want the Knicks to piss off Kelly Oubre to the point he's screaming at people in the first row, at the refs, at his coaches. I want the man to be completely off his game. I want you to see Kyle Lowry just like with that puzzled ass look on his face. I want you to see Kyle Lowry looking like he has no idea how to control the situation. I want the Sixers to quit. I want them to quit in the first half. I want them to look at the second half and say, you know what, Joel? We're not coming back in this one. You could take a rest. I want that. That is what tonight is to me. That's how the Knicks can send a message. Because you know what? Even after they beat this team on Saturday night with one of the worst performances of Jalen Brunson's career, and you give credit to guys like Oubre and to Maxey and to that entire Sixers rotation on being able to knock Brunson off his game, but a lot of the reason why Brunson didn't have so many points, he only scored 22 and was shooting less than 30%. Most of the reason was because he was bricking shots. He was getting himself open looks most of the time. He was getting himself decent looks. I mean, he takes most of those shots all season long. So for him, those are good looks. For somebody else, they might not be. But for Jalen Brunson, they are. He got himself those looks. He missed them. That's a more of a Jalen Brunson problem and him having an off night as opposed to me saying that Kelly Oubre is now the best defensive player in the league and he's the only guy in the league who has been able to figure out Jalen Brunson. I don't believe that whatsoever. So I'm going to still have the confidence that Brunson is going to come out tonight and give you the performance that he wanted to give you on Saturday, plus a little something-something, because he didn't give you a good performance on Saturday, but the team still won. There is a lot there There is a lot there. And this Knicks team has been dogs all season long, but they need to be a pack of wild hyenas. They need to go out there and they need to smell the blood. There is blood trickling off of the 76ers team. Go out there and get it. They can't rebound with you. And if Joel Embiid isn't on the court, they can't even be on the same court as you. That's the difference in this series. And that's the difference between teams that make runs and deep runs and teams that are just making the playoffs. Show out tonight. It's the Garden. It's game two. It's Philly. Make them quit. Make them quit and show no mercy to this damn team. I'm expecting 35 plus out of Brunson tonight. If you want me to give you an exact number, I'll go with 43. I think he gives you 43 at the Garden, and the Knicks win 109-84. I think this is going to be an ugly, ugly game for the 76ers. And I think this is going to be one game that when it's all said and done, if the Knicks are able to go to where we think they can, to where we know they can, actually. We know the Knicks can go where we want them to. But when we look back on this postseason run, this game tonight is going to be the most pivotal game in that entire run. Get it done. Send the message. Set the tone. You took game one. Now end it in game two. Now, I didn't talk a lot about the Islanders. They also play again tonight. Game two versus the Canes. I'll be honest with you. I still believe in the Isles. I still believe the Isles win this series in six. And it's going to take a lot to get it done. But it's going to get started tonight. That game one was exactly what you wanted to see from this team outside of the result. This is a fraudulent Carolina Hurricanes team that they are playing. Isles just need to show up tonight. And they need to keep playing that Patrick Waugh style. They need to keep playing free. And they need to keep playing with that chemistry that only they have. That's one thing unique about the Isles. Is they have a very close-knit team with great, like, unbelievable chemistry. That's what gets them to most of the places that they get to. And that's what's going to get them through this Carolina series and to another W here tonight. As they tip off. It's hockey. Come on, you dummy. You can't say tip off. When the puck drops at 7:30. Now that is a conflict because you got the Knicks going off at 7:30 and you got the Isles going off at 7:30. That's unfortunate. That's the second time we're going to have that happen this postseason. Also happened on Saturday. We're also only two games in. But we won't make much ado about nothing. And speaking of ado, that's what I must bid you here. But first, I will tell you all and remind you all to please click that follow, click that subscribe, leave a 5-star rating if you so choose to. We appreciate it very, very, very much. And of course, if you hate my takes, love my takes, don't care about my takes, just want to have somebody to talk to, just want to shoot a tweet out. Send it to @Zoobeard77, that's ZOOBEARD77 on the Elon Musk X Twitter machines. Whatever you guys like to call it, I'll go with it. But with that being said, enjoy your big sports night here on Monday, April 22nd, 2024. And I will bid you adieu for now until tomorrow when we talk again. Peace.